In 1922, near the German towns of Ingolstadt and Schrobenhausen, was a secluded farm occupied by the Gruber family. The family consisted of Andreas, the 63-year-old patriarch of the family, his 72-year-old wife, Casilia, their 35-year-old daughter, Victoria, and her two children, ages 7 and 2. The entire family was found to be brutally murdered on April 4th of that year. Leading up to their murders, the family was the subject of many rumors and town gossip, mostly surrounding the parentage of Victoria's 2-year-old son, Josef. Members of the family had reported strange happenings around the property. Sightings of a strange mustached man in the forest surrounding the farm and footsteps in the attic had driven the family maid to leave employment of the Grubers after suffering several nights of sleeplessness due to this. There were even reports of strange footprints in the snow that seemed to disappear into thin air. Were the Grubers the victims of something supernatural? A vicious serial killer? Or was the true murderer someone closer to home? Join the theorists as they down some cold ones on this cold case known as the Hinterkaifeck Murders.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 113, the Hinterkaifeck Murders. Did I say it right?
Yes, that's good.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
And I'm Andrew.
Dan's sick. Dan had to take Dan's a day off. Sick. He's fucking puking and has a fever. And
I'm actually still nursing a hangover from
Braden has a one-week hangover.
Wow, yes. That makes sense. I'm surprised it's not going to be a month long. You were the drunkest person in Canada.
I feel like I was. I don't know what happened. I think I was drugged.
You were 100% the drunkest
person. Think you were drugged, or did you just drink a whole bottle of Fireball?
If I drank a whole bottle of Fireball, it was not my intention.
Here's the thing.
I set out.
When you were somewhat sober, your plan was to smuggle a bottle of Fireball for me, because I was getting off work, so I could catch up with you guys.
I remember. I bought the bottle.
Yeah. And when I finally, when I got to the show and you were missing, you showed up about half an hour later and I was like, hey man, like, where's that Fireball at? And if you fucking Fireball, you missed it, man. And then one of the other guys you were with was like, no, he drank it all. He did. He drank it all. And I was like, that makes sense.
That's just a classic WWE night right there.
Oh man, it was
no,
crazy.
No. This is bad.
It was real bad.
So Braden says I have once every 10 year type of drunk. How many? If you're gonna add up meat draw drunks into the one drunk, how many meat draw drunks would that have been?
Oh, buddy, winner chicken dinner. That was a
just crushed it.
The thing is when he was meat draw drunk, he was still somewhat capable of recording a podcast. If you would have tried to record with him that night, there's no fucking chance.
Dude, I don't even know how I was on my feet, to be honest.
Not well. You were fucking, buddy. You're in the lineup. Security is searching you. And you're fucking unbuttoning your shirt, being like, that's all you got, buddy? That's it, eh? That's all you got? Get in there. And as you go by, this poor young girl is like scanning our tickets, and you're looking at her unbuttoning your shirt more, being like, he didn't do a good job. You want to get in there?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Search
me. Fucking search me.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. I have it on video if you'd like to see it.
No.
Yeah.
You have it on video?
Yeah, I was going to upload it onto our Discord, but it has to be compressed.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
It didn't work. You're too lucky. Bad. Yeah, you're fucking lucky.
Too
man.
Bad.
Delete that.
Come over Pod Week. You can watch all the fucking videos.
Oh.
Okay, let's get to the topic at hand.
what are we talking about today?
Hinterkaifeck murders?
Hinterkaifeck?
So, yes, we thought we'd go...
Hinterkaifeck.
This one's a little spooky, too. It's got a little spooky... Little whodunit. I kind of like it. But with no Dan, it's kind of hard. Should we just kind of freewheel who? Because, happened in Germany, if the name didn't give it away. 1922. It's like a farm. It's a
six-person homicide on a farm in rural Germany north of Munich.
Yeah, and it's like it's classified as one of the most puzzling unsolved crimes of all time, especially in German history. Of an entire family, should we say the names of the victims first? How do we want to do? Do we want to walk it back to like the precursor?
Let's
walk it back. Let's walk. Who was this family? It was a family of six. It was a grandfather, his widowed daughter.
Yeah,
that's two.
So you had Andreas Gruber, Kazelia Gruber, their widowed daughter, like you said, Victoria Gabrielle, 35. Victoria's children, Kazelia 7, Joseph 2, and a maid, Maria Baumgartner, who is 44. Who it happened to be her first day working on the farm when she was killed.
Fucking lucky.
Killings took place March 31st, 1922. So now let's back it up a little bit. 6 months before that, they had an old maid.
Yeah.
And this old maid was like, fuck this farm. There's something fucked up here. It's haunted. She's hearing steps, little rat-a-tat-tats everywhere, windows opening, being left open, doors being opened. She's out of there. She's like, nope, I quit.
And like when you say like 6 months, we're taking it back 6 months, and it was Maria Baumgartner or whatever her name was. That was her first day. There was a 6 month period there where they really tried. They apparently this family like fucking tried really hard to get more help. They needed a maid, right? It's a big family. They had elderly people living there. It's a big farm, and nobody wanted to fucking help. Okay. This place, this house, this family's all shrouded by fucking like just spooky, shitty stuff, right? Like we're talking rumors of fucking incest with the grandfather, right? One of these kids might not even have been the supposed dad that died in the military, right? So this whole family has been just bad vibes from the beginning. Like the entire city already thought half these kids were born due to incest, right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, like Andreas, the reason there was rumors was because Andreas and Victoria were convicted of incest in 1915. She served 1 month in jail for the crime, while her father was sent away for an entire year. So the reason there was rumors was because they were convicted of it.
And Mr. Gruber was convicted of fucking incest. Victoria was thrown in jail for fucking getting raped by her dad, which goes to show you the court systems back in the day. Like that's, I don't know. And that's not it though, man. Like this whole farm, just they already had a few farmhands come up and quit on them for walking in and seeing stuff they shouldn't have saw. Like it's just, I don't know, man.
Now
it's a fucked up place.
Yeah, leading up to the murders, more frequently, odd stuff was happening around the farm. Doors were being left open. Andreas found a strange newspaper from Munich on the property.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense because he or none of the neighbors had subscriptions or were paying for newspapers. So he thought maybe the postman had lost it. But this was not the case because no one around the area had that newspaper. Gruber had told neighbors that he had discovered fresh tracks in the snow that led to the forest. Or led from the forest to a broken door lock in the farm?
Well, yeah, he found footprints that seemed to come from the forest, but he didn't really find them return to the forest. So it's like this person, whatever came...
Didn't leave
or did a really good job of backtracking over his footsteps.
Well, and there was a lot of reports by the family and neighbors of a suspicious man with a mustache wearing a military-style coat skulking around the properties.
Right. So, yeah, they would like... hear shit in the attic. Sounds like footsteps in the attic. And when they go to investigate, couldn't find anything. And this was just a handful of days
before. None of which got reported to police. This is all reported secondhand by the neighbors afterwards.
Yeah.
From them being like, well, I remember him talking about this. So all this weird stuff's happening. You know, you have people claiming the house is haunted. I would think that, like, if this was me or you or one of you guys and you found tracks in the snow that led to your property and like to a building, but then none leaving anywhere.
Oh, like, buddy.
How hard would you go through that place? Like I would search it like up and down.
You would think if you suspected someone was stowed away in your house, you would do everything you could to find them.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Look around.
And I don't know. I don't really know the layout of this house. And like houses built back then wasn't uncommon to have like weird spaces between walls and like weird attic spaces that aren't really accessible unless you really know how to get there. Like you gotta squeeze back into some type of walls or a bit, like a little trap door. Like, you know, well, I don't really know exactly how this house was built. So I'm assuming it wasn't just your standard 4-bedroom American stacked house with a small attic and maybe, you know.
No, it looks like a farmhouse. It looks like a little farm attached, and then there's like a rancher style, maybe two stories from the picture I saw.
Well, yeah, and there's also a few barns on the property, and there's some talks about there actually being some underground tunneling done as well.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like back then, it's before refrigeration really and freezers. So like root cellars and all that stuff would definitely be dug. So who knows?
Okay, so I guess they don't really know. Well, they're guessing March 31st. Now, leading up, this has all been happening. So March 31st, the new maid, Maria Baumgartner, comes to the farm. And that night, sometime in the evening, they believe, 4 members of the family are somehow lured out one by one to the barn where they're smashed with a mattock, which is like
a pickaxe.
Like a pickaxe with like the flat hoe on the backside.
Yeah.
The one daughter was not believed to have died from the injuries right away, Kazelia, because she looked to be like when they found her, she had clumps of her own hair and bald spots, like she was pulling out her own hair in fear. Fuck. And then after they've determined that those 4 were killed first in the barn, then the killer went into the house and killed the maid. And then killed 2-year-old Joseph.
Yep, that is pretty much it. And this is, they say it was about 4 days after they think their murders when they're finally found.
Yeah. And each person was like attacked like gruesomely in the head with
bludgeoned to death with that fucking pickaxe thing.
They were covered with some type of sheet or clothing or whatever and then bludgeoned over the head.
Now, they weren't found for days, but that's not because people weren't putting around. There are tons of reports of people being around the property and thinking these people were home.
Oh, 100%.
Well, because things like the chimney was lit, the dog, the family dog was moved from the barn to the front yard because people like, I guess somebody came to deliver coffee, noticed the family, you know, all the doors were locked, chimney's going, nobody answered the door. They had a scheduled mechanic stop by to work on their tractor.
Yeah, that's Albert Hoffner. He stopped by to repair the food chopper. He said he didn't see the family. He said he kind of like sat around for a bit. He heard nothing but the sounds of the farm animals and the dog inside the barn. He started his repair, and he said that from the time he started repair, it took about 4.5 hours to the time he finished. There was still smoke coming out of the chimney, and the dog had been moved from inside to being tied up outside.
Oh.
So he just assuming that...
And this is on April 4th. This is 4 days after...
This is 4 days after.
And we're talking like a big badass ass-kicker German Shepherd, like guard dog, being moved from the barn to the front door as if, hey, don't fucking come in.
Yeah, and like April 1st, you're right, the Hans Skrzywowski was a coffee seller. He knocked on the door. He didn't notice anything, but he noticed the gate to the machine house was open when he left. So, like, all these things were changing in people's different accounts. Now you also have neighbors talking about seeing things like 2 men who, when they're on their way home, lurking on the side of the woods by the Hinterkaifeck property. They're standing in the woods, and as they were going, they would turn their backs to the people walking and then walk back into the woods, which they thought was a little strange and a little odd. Obviously, they didn't realize their neighbors were just gruesomely murdered. No. So they didn't think too much of it. So it wasn't till...
the same day he fixed that shit, he ended up telling the mayor, and the mayor sent his son. And
yeah.
Well, not only that, too, like the one daughter had been missing from school, which was really bizarre for everybody, right?
Yeah, because that would have been on the Monday, missing from school.
Yeah, so it was Schlittenbauer sent his 16-year-old son and his stepson, Joseph, to the farm to see if they could find out what's going on with the family. They didn't see anyone. They reported it to Schlittenbauer, who headed to the farm the same day with Michael Pohl and Jacob Siegel. Entering the barn is where they found the bodies of Andreas Gruber, his wife Kazelia Gruber, his daughter Victoria Gabrielle, his granddaughter Kazelia, and then afterwards they went in the house and they found the chambermaid, Maria Baumgartner, and the youngest family member, Joseph, dead in the house.
Six murders.
So
this is such a crazy thing to have. If you have a house and it was determined that you couldn't have heard screams from the barn inside the house. So they came to the conclusion that these people had to be lured from the house to the barn somehow.
How?
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 That is the big
question. Had you have been somebody that they fucking known and trusted, being like, hey, we got to have a fucking meeting in this barn. Like, unless...
So that's what police said too. Police said they were curious as to how they would be lured. So they did tests where from inside the home, they would have barn animals and stuff inside the barn, but that couldn't be heard. So then they were like, okay, well, let's try it with some screaming. So they would be in the barn yelling and screaming to see if that you could hear it from inside the house, which you couldn't. So they have no idea how one by one all these people got lured out to the barn.
Another really weird thing too that we kind of passed over was the fact that it was 4 days before they found these bodies, right?
Yep.
For those 4 days, all these fucking animals on that farm were taken care of.
That's
fed.
Oh, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck?
Livestock kept up.
Chimneys going, dogs being moved. Like,
in the investigation, they found remnants of cooking from that weekend. So whoever did this, safe to say, hung around for days after the murder. Fucking
and
nuts.
And was had to be familiar enough with the family dog and stuff to be able to move it around like that. And not only that, I totally forgot that one of the other weird things that's happened is a set of the farm keys went missing days leading up to the murders.
Right.
That was reported that he had told his neighbors that they were missing a set of farm keys.
So what we're talking about here is, okay, they were most likely lured into this fucking barn, right? Whoever lured them into the barn, you would imagine, kind of knew his way around the fucking farm and was comfortable with his family, right? And which would lead you to believe, you know, maybe it was a family member or maybe it was a fucking neighbor that lived close by, right? And it turns out that one of their neighbors was quite significantly linked to this family, right? And we haven't really touched on that yet.
Which who are you talking about?
Yeah,
Schlitzenberg.
Or Schlittenbauer?
Schlittenbauer, Schlittenberg, I don't know.
Same thing. Schlittenbauer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is correct. And also, when he went to the farm and with Michael Pohl and Jacob Siegel the day they found him, he did a couple of weird things that Michael Pohl and Jacob Siegel said to the police. When they were in the barn, they found all the bodies together, and Schlittenbauer took off and went and unlocked the door to the house with a key and just walked inside.
Suspicious.
When he came out, they said that they asked him, why did you go in there? You don't know if this person is still there. And he said, I was looking for my son.
So.
Hmm.
So in 1918, Schlittenbauer's wife died, right? And we're talking, this is the closest, this family, the Schlittenbauer family, is the closest farm adjacent to the Gruber family, right? So it's right next door. So his wife died in 1918. Shortly after she died, it was believed that he began a relationship with Victoria Gabriel, which was the widow, Gruber's daughter.
Right.
Okay. You say that there was a potential that he was looking for a son. Well, on Yusuf's two-year-old son, the initials LS appeared on his birth certificate.
Yeah, which is, we hadn't said his full name, but Lorenz Schlittenbauer,
right?
But they say that doesn't necessarily mean that was the name of the father. It could have been doctor, someone else to prescribe, something to do with their birth certificate.
Well, not only that, it's on record that Victoria went after Schlittenbauer for child support.
Hmm.
Now, the other weird thing is police, the investigation was flawed because people moved the bodies, people moved the bodies, people went in the house, and some people ate food in the house after like these murders had taken place. So it really kind of tampered the soiled the crime scene, I guess. But when they were looking around, they found like little nooks cut out of the hay, broken shingles on the roof, like footprints on the roof, leading to these like little areas in the barn where like hay had been moved. And they're not sure if this could be attributed to the intruder or anything, or if this would be maybe like where some people would sneak out of the house to do some of this incestuous behavior.
A little funny business.
A little funny business in the barn, a little rolling in the hay.
Rolling in the hay, if you will.
Yeah.
Right.
So who are some of the other suspects we got here?
Well, if you go down the list, they call them the Gump brothers. And Adolf Gump had been rumored to was in a relationship with this Victoria as well. Obviously, they couldn't really prove it. I think it was the Gump brothers. These are the guys that participated in other murders. I think there was something about 9 peasants or something. I'm just going off memory here. 9 peasants. Let me fucking pull it up here. Yeah, with 3 others. Adolf Gump had participated in the murder of 9 peasants in Silesia. I don't know where this comes from. So I don't know. How is he a murderer of 9 peasants and not in jail, if they know that?
What was the year? Maybe it was something to do during World War I.
I don't know.
Dan?
Yeah, Dan? No shit.
Okay, call Dan. Get him on the phone. Yeah. To me, okay, so already that's pretty fucked up. Kills 9 people. Already kind of gets a little bit of warning signs there. This guy's obviously fucked up. Like, it's not like, oh, this guy killed a few cats when he was 12. No, he killed 9 people. But for me, the most damning fucking thing is the fact that on his sister's deathbed, she claimed that her brothers, Adolf and Anton, had committed those murders. And now she died in 1944, and Adolf had already died. So they took his brother, Anton, into custody. And they couldn't find enough evidence and had to let him go. But their fucking sister, on her deathbed, her dying words were, "My brothers killed that fucking family."
Oh, so that must have been at the same time when she says about these other 9 murders, too.
That would make sense.
That would make more sense.
All I remember reading is that he killed 9 people before this.
That would make more sense if she just spilled it on her deathbed. But at that time, he was already dead, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then I know this one was Dan's favorite. Let's get into this guy. Carl Gabriel.
Yeah, that's fucking rad.
Carl Gabriel was Victoria Gabriel's husband, who was killed. Allegedly killed during the First World War in December 1914. However, his body was never discovered. People began to speculate that maybe he didn't die. And then when he came back and he found out that, you know, Victoria was having this incestuous relationship with her father and that their son was potentially
an incest baby,
he took revenge on the whole family. Which kind of lines up because you're like, if you could go, well, how would someone lure them in the barn? But if this guy was standing in the field and someone opened the door and was like, "Hey, it's me, Carl. Like, come here," right?
Well, no, if you've seen a guy who was supposed to die, he's supposed to die in like World War One. So
World War One,
1911 to 1915 was the war or something like that.
Yeah.
So he died in 1914?
Yeah. That's when he was allegedly killed in combat.
December 1914 in front of a trench.
So didn't like any of his soldiers or anything, like no one came forward. So like, yeah, I watched him get blown up.
Well, some people after the fact.
Yeah, they did say that like they had seen him die and stuff. But now, let's remember that maid said for 6 months that the place was haunted.
Oh.
Right? So what if it's like the ghost of Carl Gabriel coming back, right, to check on his wife.
A vengeful ghost?
Only to find out that his wife is, right?
There was a mistake, you know, they falsely reported his death. He finally gets fucking, he spent some time in a fucking prison camp. That's why it's been a while. Yeah. He makes it his way home. He's pumped. He's going back to see his family. He's going to see his wife, his father and mother-in-law. Guy's ecstatic. He's happy. Makes his way to the farm one night. You know what I mean? It was a long day from travel. Fucking knocks on the door. Nobody answers. Walks in himself. Catches his fucking father-in-law stuffing his fucking wife. Gets a little fucking crazy. He finds him in the barn. That's where he finds him, okay? So he goes inside and wakes up his fucking mother-in-law and his daughter and says, you need to come fucking see this. Drags him out there, shows him, goes crazy, kills them both. Thinks, potentially, that not only is Yusuf an incest baby, but also, well, actually, was Yusuf born? Yusuf couldn't have been his. So
no,
backtrack.
It couldn't have been. So that's what he means. So it's like,
what's the daughter's name? The younger daughter.
Victoria.
Starts thinking that potentially Victoria is his father-in-law's, not his. Goes fucking crazy and takes out the whole family.
Or yeah.
So he shows up after...
Sorry, Cazelia.
Cazelia, the one that's named after his mother-in-law.
Yeah,
Cazelia's not
right.
Really his. Goes crazy. Fucking bada bing, bada boom.
So in a nutshell, he gets falsely claimed as killed in action on duty. Gets taken prisoner by... I don't really know my World War I history that well. Who was that war? It was Austro-Hungarian army versus... Who else was in there?
The Axis of Allies.
Yeah, who would have taken him? Who would have taken him prisoner?
Russia, maybe.
French, Russian.
Okay, he gets taken prisoner for seven and a half years.
Yeah.
Tracks down his family for 6 months. He's kind of watching from a distance. He doesn't know really how to because he was living in the gulags, right? He was fucking.
Yeah, man, he's hardened, dude. This is a World War I vet. He's seen some shit.
But he's so disconnected from reality because he's been living in the jail cell for so long. He doesn't know how to talk to his family, so he watches for 6 months.
Well, because he sees... Think about it, man. The one thing that's keeping him alive this whole time is coming home to his family, to see his kids, his wife. It's the only thing that's keeping him alive in that prison camp.
And maybe the first time he finally comes back, he's about to knock on the door or something. He sees them like sneak out to the back, and he's like, what the fuck?
He sinked it.
And so for 6 months, he's steaming about it. He's like, what am I going to do? So he's...
You say he's hiding around the farm for 6 months?
Well, I'm saying if he's gone, let's see, he's been gone for 7.5 years already. What's another six months of slinking around? Because he's so mad he can't go to the door. He tries to cool himself off.
He's hiding in the walls, just ruminating, just fucking.
He has a little nook. He has a little nook in the attic and in the barn. He's watching this happen. He's stealing food, little nugget of food here and there.
Oh, yeah. Sharpen his fucking mattock or whatever the hell it is.
And then he's filing this fucking mattock. But I guess, to have four people lured from the house that you can't hear animals like to the barn, you can't hear the distance if something was happening. No. So someone had to lure and there's no signs of struggle inside the house. It's not like he like forcibly removed.
No, it's not like the house was ransacked, right? Yeah. Or like you could see the fight started in there. Like,
so
all ports say that they would have been led to the barn on their own free will and then killed when they got in there. Inside was a massacre.
Here's the thing, how
would you get them there? How would you get them there?
Well, they're all surprised. One of them fucking, maybe he's hiding in the barn and one of them finds him and everybody's like, holy fuck, Gabriel's home or whatever his name was. Carl's home. Everybody come see him. He's in the barn. Should we wake up the new maid? Fuck the new maid.
Fuck the new maid.
The baby's sleeping. Leave the baby. Whatever. You know?
Let's go party in the barn for a bit.
Here's my issue. No signs of struggle.
No. Nope.
Okay? You bludgeoned. You had to bludgeon the first one. You had to, right? That's how they died. Which means three other people watched you bludgeon this person.
They
no screams, no yelling, no running. Ah, it's fucked up, man.
Or...
Well, let's not forget, the youngest daughter didn't die.
Reports say
that she was fatally wounded, but she laid there and was pulling out her own hair in fear.
Why would she pull your own hair out in fear? Is that a medical thing, Andrew?
Well, you never know what's happening. Like she's probably fucking brain dead at the time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So
it's just... Exactly.
Pulling.
There's a lot of things too. Like if you get blunt force trauma to your head, you do a thing called posturing where it's either like decorticate where you scrunch up and you bring everything towards your core and everything's like, you know, flinched, or you go decerebrate where everything is extended and far away. It's like,
so you could have been a mix of both even.
Well, decerebrate, right? Like decorticate, she could have fucking crunched up here and taken some hair with her.
Right.
But I don't know. It's weird. Like you see it all the time in like UFC, they're not obviously posturing as far as decorticate or decerebrate, but like you watch those fucking guys get starched in their arms, right?
Right.
Their arms stick up in the air and fucking.
Yeah. They drop down. And
so that could be something to do with it, but that's fucking reaching. Right, but this whole fucking podcast is a big reach. So.
Well, I just had a thought. So now we say like, okay, why would someone go to the barn? Maybe one person went to the, because like, okay, I'm just going to go check the animals. I'm just going to go check. You know, nothing was really happening. Maybe there's maybe he had a routine of just going and having a quick check in the barn before he goes to bed. Doesn't come back. It's like, oh, I wonder if, I wonder if you need some help out there. One other person goes, right? And then they don't come back. Both of them, it's been half an hour now. They're like, well, this should only take 10, 15 minutes. The other two, like, well, let's go together and let's go check it out. And they go out there also, and they walk in, they see the bodies, and all of a sudden they look up, boom, pickaxe to the dome to one. One tries to run, another pickaxe to the dome. They got four people out there, not lured. They went there on their own will because one got killed at a time. And the first one, then the second one, then the other two went out, or whatever order it would have been.
Well, here's a little bit extra to it, okay? So Victoria, the daughter, and the dad were found in their fucking clothes, their normal day-to-day clothes.
Right.
Yeah. The grandmother and the Victoria's daughter, Calista, whatever her name was, were found in their nightgowns, okay? So somebody busts in on fucking Victoria and Anders Stefan.
Stefan
kills them. You hear this loud fucking oh shit screaming. The mother-in-law and the daughter wake up being like, what the hell? Let's go run out and check and see what the fuck's going on. They come in, get hit in the head.
Dead. They said you can't hear screams.
Yeah, you couldn't really hear from the barn.
That's what the police said. Like, okay. That's what their thought was. But you brought up a thought for me. If they were in their regular clothes, what if they got ambushed in the barn, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's getting ready for bed and then they're like, where the fuck
are they?
Like, come out with me to the barn. They should have been in hours ago.
That's what I mean. You didn't have to get lured from the house. They went, one guy or two people got killed first, and the other people went looking.
In the barn,
doing their, if they're in their clothes, not
getting
in their
incesty.
Maybe, well, yeah. He dressed them back up. He's like, this is some bullshit. Put your clothes back on.
I mean, what I'm doing is fucked up, but what you guys are doing is way more fucked up.
Yeah, I'm just killing here.
Yeah.
All right.
This is weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we've stumbled on that they didn't have to be lured. Could have been killed one at a time, and the other ones went looking. Either way, they had to leave the house on their own. They left with no struggle. They all went to the barn. They all got fucking murdered in the barn. Covered up in hay.
And the other case, so we know that it couldn't be, it had to be someone like familiar with the area because they stayed comfortably and fed the animals, and the dog wasn't tearing them apart and was just... What was barking in the house? It was barking in the house and it was barking outside the house. So, but they also had a lot of money in the house.
Yep.
That was not taken.
None of it.
Not taken.
Not a
fucking cent.
So it seems like robbery, if this was something to, like, a lot of the suspects on here, they were like, they knew of the family fortune and maybe they wanted it. Well, it's like, then why'd they hang around in the house for days on end and not take the money, right?
I got a little something for one of the suspects.
All right, let's hear it.
A little bit. I'm going to kick it back to Mr. Old Schlittenbauer.
Schlittenbauer.
Okay, so that's the neighbor that supposedly was dating Victoria and with the potential father of Yusuf.
And he's the guy who unlocked the door after.
He's the first guy on scene who was reported to be acting very strangely by everybody else that was there and magically had this fucking key that supposedly went missing.
That he didn't present when they first got there.
No.
He presented it. After
pulls it out.
Yeah, once they found the bodies, he went and then pulled it out.
So you have mysterious footprints around this fucking place, right? Keys go missing, doors are left open. Maybe Schlittenbauer's casing this place and coming up with a plan is how I'm gonna fucking do this. Now, why would he do that? Well, he's on record for already being charged child support for Yusuf. Okay? He's on record for making odd comments on scene, being fucking strangely cold, right? Being very nonchalant, not really fucking caring. Okay. So we got motive. He's paying child support for a kid that's probably not even fucking his. Okay. Yusuf already is suspected to be her father's kid. Okay. He's got the opportunity. He's the fucking next door neighbor. Okay. You have German law at the time. Okay. The biggest detail for me is the fact that the livestock is being fed and cared for, and the family dog, who is a fucking vicious German Shepherd guard dog, was obviously fucking comfortable with this person because it was moved.
Yeah, they said the dog barked and, like, would bark at everyone.
Now, German language resources indicate that Herr Schlittenbauer was awarded the livestock for maintaining the farm during the investigation and was given them after the will was executed.
So he did gain from it. He also did say some weird shit later on. Like they eventually leveled the farm.
Yeah, they eventually demolished it.
They demolished it, and then he was seen on the grounds of like where the murder, like where the barn used to be, and someone came and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he like turned and was like, "You know, the killer tried to bury them, but the ground was too frozen."
Jesus Christ!
How would you know?
How would you know? And like, well, just you might, weird. He'd say some weird stuff like that.
And
all
you know,
the time. Like,
you know what else is pretty cool is the fact that the murder weapon wasn't found until the fucking place was demolished.
That's the other interesting fact.
Oh, they it didn't. Was like, they didn't find it until it was demolished. Really?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, they found the mattock in the demolition. They found a like mattock. They found a pocket knife that they weren't sure whose it could be. That they were just like, it could be the killer's. We don't really know. But the mattock, which was 100% the murder weapon, they found during the...
Man, I can only imagine how much damage you could do with one of those, man. You split stones with those things.
Yeah.
Like fucking boulders and shit. You can chip them away. So one little smack to the human skull, you just... probably wouldn't have been a nice scene.
So you go through... Like, we're focusing on some of the... The better theories as far as who committed this, right? But did you guys not notice?
They did 100 suspects.
100, did you not notice that like about 90% of these fucking suspects were brothers?
Yeah, what's with that?
Super fucking weird.
Why is everyone brothers? Yeah.
I don't know, man. The Hans and Franz fucking brothers, the Gump brothers.
Maybe that's a German thing. Maybe like German, maybe it's like, it used to be like murders are more commonly committed by a duo.
I actually think that's the some of the, like the, that'd be like the rarest form of serial killers.
A duo?
Is like a related duo. I don't know the stats on that, but like I've watched a lot of Mindhunters and I'm pretty sure they said that.
Fuck, I love that show. I know it's fucking off topic, but that Mindhunter show is fucking amazing.
Oh, it's so good.
People keep telling me to watch it and I just keep playing video games instead, but I'm going to get to it
one day.
It's
so good.
It is so good.
Fucking awesome.
But like the weird thing is that like they would have to know the dog. They weren't in for the money. So it's just, and they hung around for days.
Right? Well, that's
and I think
they made themselves comfortable.
Yes,
after.
They made themselves comfortable. Who else we got? There's 100 suspects, and some of them are like,
those are the only
good ones.
This
guy wanted money. We thought it was him. He wasn't in town. And you're like just lot. They interviewed everyone, every brother in town.
Yeah, no shit.
Andrew, you had a good one. Who is your?
Okay, let's make a connection here.
Okay, so this one's pretty cool. I wish I could do it more justice, but I think there's a book called The Man from the Train, which kind of goes off on this, which it was weird. It's this well-known baseball statistician and his daughter. They investigated the counterfeit murders, and they brought up some really eerie similarities with this axe murderer who did, I think he was on a spree of something like 19 or 20 murders in the USA, who was originally from Germany.
Right.
Okay. So big thing here is the fact that I can hear myself talking.
Don't worry about that. The live stream just popped through. We muted it.
Okay.
Keep going.
So here's the thing about Paul Mueller is he selected families who lived near railroads, seemingly struck in an ambush at about midnight while the victims were asleep. He used the blunt side of an axe rather than the blade. He was known to live in the fucking victims' households for multiple days, eat, live, sleep, all those type of things. Okay. He was kind of like the main man for a set of murders in the States. They couldn't get enough on him. But all we know is that it was well publicized around 1912. Okay. Then he goes missing for a few years. And everybody's like, okay, did he die? What happened to this guy?
1912 goes missing.
What year did the murders happen in fucking counterfeit? 1918. What happens if this guy just randomly decided, you know what? The fucking trail's hot. I'm going to get busted soon.
No, murders
I'm going home.
Murders were in 1922.
1922.
Sorry, 1922. Yeah. I'm going to go home.
He's on the watch list now. He might be a suspect. So he just kind of dekes out, goes back to Germany.
Yeah, and because he was the fucking number one suspect for these murders in Kansas. And I'm talking, like, let's think of it. The blunt side of an axe, covering these people before he bludgeoned them.
Living in the house.
You know what I mean? So
living
what happens?
In the house. It's definitely an MO back in the days where you couldn't, like, there probably wasn't a lot of copycat killers.
Well, and the cool thing, the big thing too, is he's well known for his fucking mustache. And, well, you know, before the family died, they reported seeing somebody fucking casing the house with a mustache.
That's very true. Very true. That was also so one now of the I feel like lurking on the edge of the woods.
I feel like I didn't do it as much justice as it deserves because there's an entire fucking book written about this guy.
But he supposedly 19 murders.
19
they think
murders.
Is connected to one this guy.
All the same MO.
All blunt force.
Covered by fucking clothing. Blunt force trauma to the head.
Jesus.
Right?
This is a hard, like, I don't know what it was like to travel in early 1900s, but, like, I don't think you were catching, like, international flights like you did now. So I don't know how easy or how difficult it is to, like, if someone immigrates to the United States and then, like, you know what, I want to pop back into Germany and murder some people, how easy that is. And, like,
yeah,
because this was a 12th hour discovery about Paul Mueller. I didn't really get a look into, like, his whereabouts after. Well, like, did he finish his life in Germany kind of thing? Or did he just kind of fall off the map, right? I'd have to look into that more. The similarities are striking from what I first pulled up. But, I mean, there's nothing saying it couldn't be him. We got a guy with a mustache, but I'm like, does he have a brother? He's my top suspect.
Does he have a brother?
I'd have to just look into that one more because it's interesting that the MO is so similar in the period time.
Even, I'm going to read the book. I really will. Sounds pretty wild.
Well, anytime you got so many similarities in murders, you'd have to consider it.
Well, there's nothing saying it couldn't have been him.
If he actually left America, went home.
Yeah, he was in Germany immigrant. Around this time, yeah. I'm going to say the probability just went up for me.
Yep.
100%. Next to what my final thought is that it was 100% the husband's ghost came back, possessed the grandpa, killed the family, then wandered the ghost back in and killed himself before taking the pickaxe and ghosting it into a barrel of hay.
So you think he actually did get killed in the war? He didn't actually escape?
Yeah.
You think he died and he...
I think he came back as a
vengeful spirit?
Well, maybe vengeful he didn't spirit. Mean to come back vengeful. Maybe he decided to pull a Casper and be like, I'm going to go hang out with my family.
I'm going
to
go see it. And then he's... Exactly. That's what
six
I'm saying.
6 months.
Right? And for 6 months, he sees them, the dad and the daughter.
Or maybe he doesn't really see it for 6 months. Maybe he's just there trying to be a friendly ghost and they're not really doing it or whatever. And then he sees it. He catches him. And then he's like, well, I'll go from friendly ghost to fucking vengeful poltergeist real quick.
Yeah, exactly. 100%, right?
If you've been there for 6 months, you know the guy's routine. He's like, okay, he's coming out at 8 p.m. He's going to, you know, fill up the water or break the ice in the water because it's probably wintertime or whatever. He does all that stuff. Like, I'm going to kill this guy. They're going to come looking for him. I'm going to kill that guy. I'm going to kill that. Boom, boom, boom. Four murders. Go inside, finish the job, and just hang out. But ghosts don't eat food, as far as I know.
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah, I remember, Casper.
Didn't they make shit
fucking cookies and just falling
just
down?
Just falling through them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ready for a more realistic fucking scenario?
Let's hear some real.
Yeah, you ready for some real hard? Like, this is probably it.
Yep. Let's hear it.
All right. It's all in the name. Anders Gruber, descendant of Hans Gruber. Maybe John McClane tracked down a fucking time machine, went back in time. Tracked down a fucking Madoc and yippee-ki-yay'd that whole fucking family.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Before Hans Gruber can be born.
Saved the fucking Nakatomi building.
I like
prevented
it.
Prevented it all.
This is a great theory. I'm on board with this one.
That's the plot of Die Hard 5, man.
Well, and that's why we don't get... And then, thus, it would end the need for the Die Hard series, which was ruined in subsequent entries, which we wouldn't get.
That's it.
So...
All comes full circle, man.
So what you're saying is it's Bruce Willis.
The thing that bugs me the most about this, though, is apparently in...
He was a ghost! Bruce Willis was a ghost!
There you go!
Oh, shit! Six
there
cents,
you go.
Baby!
Holy fuck.
He was a ghost the whole time! How did we not put this together?
It's it. Done. Straight theorizing.
Yeah. That's straight theorizing right
That's
there.
That's straight theorizing.
Oh, that was great.
Okay. The thing that bugs me about this, though, is apparently in 2007, a bunch of fucking law students in Germany... solved this fucking case but have refused to release any of the information because they don't want to fucking affect the descendants of whoever did it.
Yeah, so it was in like 2009 or something they did it.
2007. I could be wrong.
No, that's something like that.
But and who the fuck? Like, they, listen, if you came to me, solve like, it. Your great grandpa, who you never knew, murdered a family. I'd be like, listen, whoa,
these
that's
are
crazy.
Fucking. You got to think about the people we're talking about. These people are very sensitive about things that happened in the past.
It's true.
They really don't want to drag anybody's fucking, you know, past and family bullshit around.
It's true. I'll tell you a quick backstory about that. When I was 8 years old, I went to Germany because I have relatives like. My mom's dad's from Germany. And you know when you're like a kid and you used to draw like stick figure wars on a piece of paper?
All the time, yeah.
I would draw like, it'd be like Canada, USA, England on a stick figure versus like Nazi Germany. And they'd be like blowing the fuck out of them on like doll stick figures. But that's huge war battles. I'd have like pages of them. Like, all right, scene one, Canada comes in, he gets blown up. Canadian guy comes in, a fucking US guy comes in, drops a bomb on the Nazi guy. And I would have like 10 pages of these. And then my German relatives like seen this. And I've never seen people be so offended and mad. I'll remember it to this day. They like grab the stuff. They grab me by my collar. They come to get my mom. They sit me down. They're like, your son talk about Nazis, all this shit. And I was like, I had no idea. I was 8 years old. But because I had the Nazi flag, I was in, oh man, it was bad. So
maybe it wouldn't be as bad if you weren't like the fucking ideal fucking Aryan.
Like, right. Zell's just blocked it out. It was all dicks.
Yeah.
I'm sure actually the blonde hair actually comes from mother side as the Swedish side. So
probably.
Yeah.
Either way, don't draw Nazi stick figure wars when you're in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't.
Do not take kindly to that. Well, understandable, but I didn't understand at the time.
Well, you were a child.
I was a child. Segue. I never did it again. I changed from Nazi flag. I just made up a different flag.
Yeah.
Anyways. Quick side story.
What's final thoughts? Anyone else on a final thought?
I wanted to talk one about this Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
Schlittenbauer. That's what
we're I know, but
yeah. did Schlittenbauer.
It seems like he should have been
He's
more
a prime
of
prime suspect.
He did it.
But did he have? How did he not become like an actual like? How was he not charged? Did he have alibi?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'll be devil's advocate for old Schlittenbauer here. If you're a neighbor, right? My neighbors all growing up had keys to my house, right? There'd be like a key, really? And then if we were locked out or something, you'd go to the one neighbor's house who had a key to our house, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that's weird. It's weird that he had a key and then he didn't disclose and then like ran in there after they found the bodies. But I was like, unless there was something in there that was going to be incriminating, it doesn't that worry me, like it doesn't strike me as that odd to go, especially if he was sleeping with Victoria and he thought Yusuf was his son. So he sees the four dead body and he goes, oh shit, I gotta run in the house, see if my kid's okay, right? Like right. He's running because he knows that's his kid. I could see that, right? Because then he's like, I was going to check. But then he has the best cover story because he already has another son named Yusuf. So if he was going, I was going to go check on my son. Maybe he was worried that his son had, it doesn't make sense. But either way, it doesn't strike me as that surprising, especially if he was like allegedly sleeping with her and that may be his kid to run in the house.
Right. Well, but it's like on all accounts, there was a fucking massive lack of emotion. Coldness.
Oh yeah,
and I get it.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
He was a World War I vet, so he'd probably seen some fucked up shit in the past.
And he's
but
German.
Still, this is your fucking. This was your. He tried marrying her, but Anders shut it down because Schlittenbauer said, "Like, if I'm going to marry you, you got to stop stuffing your daughter. Like, I can't do that. That's. I don't blame him, but you know what I mean. Like, he cares.
Is that
for
a
this
deal
woman.
Breaker for you?
I'd say so.
That's a deal breaker.
It just doesn't work.
That's
for
a deal
me,
breaker.
Right? And there are a lot of reports that he was on financial hardships.
But he didn't take the money.
Yeah, but he pretty much inherited a whole fucking farm worth of animals. Which
is
as
true.
Good as money, right? Look, this guy's a next door neighbor. He knows the layout of this property. He's been there. He was courting Victoria. He was trying to marry her. He knew his way around. And then when you find out, like, I'm trying to marry this chick, and I find out, first of all, she's stuffing her dad. I know I'm saying stuffing a lot. I don't know why. But
stuffing.
You also try, and then you find out that the kid's probably not even yours.
You know what? That actually makes, I like that theory because then it's also, he later on when he says, you know, the killer tried to bury them, but the ground was too cold. He kills them. And then he's like, I'm going to bury them. Ground's too cold. And he's like, fuck. So he's trying to make it look like there's still people in the house for the next couple days, right?
Mm.
Until like
the ground
to there's too much.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Waiting for it.
Right?
Yeah, I guess you don't.
Wow.
Your meteorologists aren't the best back then. You probably couldn't tell if, you know.
So that's very interesting. Well, I like that.
I guess, yeah. So, yeah, if it's in March, I mean, you're coming out of winter, so you could have frozen nights and thawed during the day. So it makes sense.
That's crazy. That's smart. I like it.
I mean, yeah, this is not like Northern Canada winter. So
I mean, I don't like him as much as I like John McClane or Carl Gabriel's ghost, but I like him. He's pretty, it's a likely suspect.
Here's another quick mystery.
Oh, shit.
It was Lorenz Schlittenbauer. He did it, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That was a quick mystery.
That's it. Case called.
It's over.
Case called. I got nothing else on the Hinter block.
Still unsolved. The German like Academy of Forensics, or whatever, did the thing, and they had narrowed down to one suspect that they never released. So you'll never really.
It's so fucking annoying.
Why can't they release it?
You know what? They had a big press conference. Everybody's excited. They're like, finally, we're going to find out who fucking did this. And the fucking guy's sitting there in the front of the podium. He's got a fucking stack of cue cards, and he flicks through a few of them. And on one cue card, Hinterkaifeck, unsolved.
Unsolved.
It's over.
Thank you, guys. We got him, but we can't tell you. So, peace.
I get it. Like, you don't want to worry about these people's ancestors, but what about the people whose ancestors got fucking brutally murdered? You know what I mean? Like
closure.
You want,
a little
like,
closure would have been nice for them.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and that, yeah. Who do you favor? You favor the murderer's family or the victim's family? Sounds like you're favoring the murderer's family.
Man, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's a creepy one.
It's one of those ones where I guess it's because like, it's hard because I'm going to say maybe they didn't release it just because of how long it's been that and an entire family was killed. So it's not like there's like a living dot, like a direct relative to the victims. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a direct heir of the victims. You know, you could have some cousins and stuff, and I'm sure, but I mean, it's almost lost in history.
Yeah. It's back. It's too far back.
I don't know. The right? Fucking livestock, the family dog. I like Schlittenbauer.
Schlittenbauer, me too.
Schlittenbauer, I like
next
him.
Right after Bruce Willis and the ghost of Carl Urban,
or Carl Urban, yeah.
All right, let's get into some space news.
Oh, wait for it. I got this cool thing.
What is that?
I can't see because Gordon's face.
You hit it too early. Wow. There it is.
Oh, that is fucking cool.
Anyways.
That was cool.
That was cool. I wasn't. You fucking hit me too quick.
Sorry, but. I wasn't ready. This one was really interesting because we talked about Tom DeLonge and the.
Oh, I had this one too.
To the Academy of Arts and Science, just announced that the U.S. Army is going to test military mystery materials owned by to the STARS Academy, and they're working in a partnership together. A cooperative research and development agreement has been made by To the STARS Academy and the military. So that's kind of cool.
I mean, I guess the Defense Department will take any opportunity to investigate something that could boast national security. Still, no one knows anything about these hidden alloys he has. He's been talking about these alloys. Like, when this fucking thing came out 2 years ago, when they first broke those videos,
have now been
corroborated by the Navy and Air Force that they are real videos. They're not. And I don't know if I watched it. Commander David Fravor on Joe Rogan.
Really good interview.
That guy was one of the greatest tellings of a UFO account ever, because he explained the video, explained everything. He's like, no man, that's real. This thing was fucking moving. It's an UFO. I've talked to dozens of other people that see these things. These things are out there. They're not ours. He's like, I'm not saying they're alien, but they're not ours. We don't have the stuff. So I don't know who has it, but it's there. And this technology is seemingly rampant around the world as the sightings go. But yeah, the To the STARS Academy, Tom DeLonge claims he has this alloy, like futuristic alloys. And so he's partnering with the Defense Department.
Yeah, something. they said like some of the research they're hoping to do will be lead to groundbreaking discoveries with on-ground vehicle propulsion systems and cloaking capabilities.
Yeah, they say like space-time metric engineering, quantum physics, beam energy propulsion, like a fucking laser rifle, or like what are we talking about here? Plasma cannons?
Fucking cool, man.
And other jargon-filled sciencey things.
That he can't elaborate on.
Which may enhance survivability and effectiveness of multiple army systems. Hey, maybe these fucking guys got something. Maybe they do. But when it first came out, we beaked them pretty hard because they're like, well, you're an entertainment company.
Yeah. Well, not only that, he had the chance to sell you on it on Rogan and he didn't at all.
He didn't. I can't talk about that.
I can't elaborate on anything I'm claiming.
I can't talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, fuck off.
Still, one thing that drives me crazy about like with Bob Lazar and Tom DeLonge and shit, and when those recovered craft, we excavated some craft. See, no one's even talked about that yet. I've never heard anyone explain anything else about the excavation of these crafts. Still waiting.
I got, okay, actually, I didn't have this one up, but I'm sure you can look it up. This was weird, and maybe we can talk about this on a case file update. There was this company, and it was releasing like light bending tech, where it's like a sheet of paper you can put in front, and it bends the light the way it sends. So it makes the person who's standing right behind it look invisible.
Oh, I have seen this.
Right? Go look at that. Go look at that shit, and then go watch that elevator video from the Elisa Lam. And you know when you see that little bit of shadow move in the hallway?
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. I was like, it reminds me of that fucking elevator video when you see the little bit of shadow just kind of move.
Huh. Yeah. Stunning technology makes troops invisible, NATO chief echoes. So I don't know. I don't know exactly.
Very interesting. Go look at that. I had that thought and I was like, oh man, that'd be a cool one. This one's from physics.org. Soil on the moon and Mars likely to support crops.
Well, didn't China grow that fucking thing on the moon? The first sprouted plant on the moon. It wasn't like on the moon with no atmosphere. They like left the box on the moon or whatever, and they grew that plant.
But what didn't they use?
Okay, I see what you mean. So the soil could contain enough nutrients on the moon and Mars to grow shit.
Yes.
I could see Mars. But I can't really see the moon as much, but.
It's made of cheese.
Mold grows on cheese?
Yeah. That was kind of cool. I was like, well.
That is cool.
I guess we're going to be eating potatoes for a while. Speaking on Mars, the first human on Mars may be a woman, NASA chief says.
Did we talk about this before?
No, I don't think so. This was just came out 2 days ago.
So the first astronaut will be a woman to step foot on Mars?
That's what he's saying. He says it's more than likely. He said, you know, they're having the first. Now, it's not the first. The first woman spacewalk, as Trump said, it's the first all women spacewalk. Women have done a spacewalk before. So, you know, he was just in this interview was saying like, yeah, listen, there's going to be people on Mars. There's going to be women on Mars. There's more than likely could be the first one out the gate to be the first person to step on Mars. So
cool. Someone's got to do it.
Interesting. Yeah. Someone's got to do it. That's all I had for space news.
Yeah, I only want to talk about Tom DeLonge. I'm cautiously optimistic about some cool stuff coming out.
Well, I was like, it's the same thing where it's like, yeah, if they haven't shown this military and they're like, oh, we have to do these things, I'm still not convinced it's not like a money-making scheme of like, you tell the military you have these things and they go, okay, well, let's work on them together if you have them. They get this like cooperative research and development agreement. They announce it to the public like this. Now we all run to their website,
donate
memberships or whatever we want because we're like, it's real.
I try to buy a share when that came out. It was $200.
Yeah?
I couldn't get it from Canada.
Oh,
I was like, I was good. You know, I was buy one share. What if this motherfucker develops the next generation of propulsion technology and that one $200 share is worth $2 million?
Oh, that'd be badass.
Happens.
Open it up to Canadians.
I don't know. I don't know if maybe it's opened up now, but when the first thing they're taking shares, because it wasn't like a publicly traded IPO, it was like just private investor. You buy a piece of the company or whatever, but let's hope. Let's hope for something sweet.
Let's plug in the Randomatron, do a ghost story for Halloween.
Okay, ghost story. It's been a while for the Randomatron. I had did some tune-ups on it. Should be working. All right, here we go. You getting that?
Yeah, oh yeah. All right.
Transmission sent.
This one's from, again, if you want your story put into the Randomatron, send it to our email, alientheorists@gmail.com, and in the subject line, write Randomatron story. This one comes from Brody.
Come on.
Oh, he's just, hold on. There's a little, like, nice little pre-saying that he says, don't read this, but okay, so here. Hey guys, so I've been a skeptic when it comes to ghosts, but my girlfriend Alyssa believes in the paranormal and swears she's seen a ghost. So growing up, Alyssa spent a lot of time staying at her grandmother's house. She slept in the same bed as her grandma a lot. And as she was getting into bed, she heard something in the kitchen and went to look. As she walked by, she seen a woman in the kitchen making tea and then walked downstairs into the basement. At first, she thought it was her grandma, but went to bed and her grandma was asleep. Another time, Alyssa and her family were sitting around having a family get-together and the TV started switching to channels and stopped at channel 666.
Ooh, shit.
Finally, she told me about a reoccurring dream about an old lady and her husband sitting in a room in her basement that doesn't exist. But if there was a door to another room in the basement, it would definitely be the spot she thinks it is. I've never done it, but I'm tempted to knock on the spot to see if it sounds different than most of the basement concrete behind it. I'm guessing for a hollow door. Also, just throwing at the end that I'm sorry and I love her. LOL. Anyways, huge fan, guys. Thanks for sharing her story. That's from Brody on behalf of his girlfriend, Alyssa.
Dope.
Spooky.
Spooky shit.
Ooh, man.
Still never seen a ghost. That'd be the worst. Still open to be haunted.
The phantom footsteps.
What?
And stuff,
what do you mean open to being haunted?
You heard me,
nobody
buddy.
Nobody wants to be
open,
fucking haunted, man.
Open to pod week.
No.
Pod week, I'm summoning. I'm playing Ouija board morning, noon, night.
3:33, baby.
I'm playing it. I'm just going to leave that planchette right in the middle of the board. I'm opening all portals.
Yeah. You heard it here first. Come get your portals. Come all down to Portal Town.
Portal Town. Oh, real portals. All day long.
Portals everywhere. That's all I got. Well, you got some reviews up?
Oh, there's a couple of reviews. I'm not sure. I wasn't here last week. I'm not sure if you read these or not. Let's go with them, though. Almost done. 5-star review. By Damien3-GH from Australia. I've binged you guys for the last few months to and from work every day. I have loved every minute. Recently hit the end and it went back to episode 1. Man, Braden is so quiet back then. Are you quiet back then at the start?
I think he's making a joke.
Oh, I think he's making, yeah. It's a lot louder, a lot drunker at the start. I've left some reviews on YouTube and stuff in the past. The perfect mix of humor and facts. A lot of really interesting topics like Pizzagate, Big Pharma, pyramids, and all that shit. Keep it going, and I promise to keep listening. Well done on getting to episode 100. Yeah, we never thought we were going to get there, but we made it. Count down to 200.
We did it.
New from Burlington, Ontario. 5 stars from iDustyV. Boys! So I know I already sent a message on Twitter, which you got back to me pretty fast, but I just want to reiterate how awesome your podcast is. Started listening to a couple new ones on Tuesday and decided Wednesday I was going to binge from the beginning. Currently on Case File 20, just unreal. The quality back then was quite poor, but we appreciate the support. Keep these beauties coming and making me howl while I'm not at work. Not even kidding. El Nasty had me almost in tears. Cheers, guys. Booyah. Cheers for that. El Nasty is still one of my favorites. DS Love Pass.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was fun.
So fun.
Wait, that's a good one too, because we fucking had to redo that one.
Yeah, we had it. Yeah, it got all fucked up. We had to restart the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
But if we didn't, we didn't even know, but if we didn't restart that one, we would have been bang on the 50-year anniversary.
That's crazy.
Or was it 60 years? One of those, an anniversary, but we missed it by a day. Either way. That's all I got for today.
I was going to read the Patreons, but my island internet here is just...
I was going to talk to you about that. You got to like screenshot your shit beforehand because it's an ongoing problem with your internet connection.
Well, I think what happens is because I have all my notes on tabs and then, oh, here we go. And then what happens is as I open tabs, it reloads it for some reason. And I'm like, why the hell does it do that? So I've got Darius W., Jeff Ventry, Frank Price, Trent Robertson, and Luke Dennis.
Oh, yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, for some reason, that's all it showed me, but I can see there's more. They're all blank.
Luke Dennis. I'll continue on. Right under Luke Dennis, we got Kid Wonder, Maria Elena Ruiz, Carissa Frain, Dustin, Ryan Stanger, Sean Reck, My Dungeon's Ready. Oh, shit. Deleted. Shouldn't have read that.
Oh, take it back.
Take it back.
Take it back. Gone.
Jordan Bitterman, Jennifer Corsino, Pond Ron.
Ooh.
Pond Ron.
And we'll give a shout out to this guy, Zach Dysinger. Yeah. He went up 55 cents.
Attaboy.
He's done that a few times.
$2.55.
$2.55? $2.55. Oh, yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. It all helps.
If you go up, you get red again.
How are we doing for time? I got time.
I got nothing
time?
To do.
You got some time?
Yeah.
You know,
some time?
Do we want to do this now or do we want to push this into after hours?
Time. Where are we at? Oh, let's fucking, want to do Among Us Files, what you were saying?
Let's fucking do it.
Let's do Among Us.
Let's do it.
One second.
Before we go, obviously, this happened to a friend of a friend of a friend of mine.
Goes without saying.
All right. So when I say this, it's going to sound like it happened to me, right? But it didn't happen
to me. It's for theatrics.
It didn't happen to me. It happened to a friend of a friend of mine. This might have happened recently in a coastal city in BC. Not going to say where, but it rains a lot. It's been raining a lot lately. Not much sun. Gloomy day. Getting towards the end of the day, let's say 8 o'clock. Sitting in the ambulance, call comes in. We're going to the coastal city mental hospital for the, you know, the manic episode. Okay, pretty standard. Never been to this place before. So, you know, it's a little bit of a trek. And we're going kind of a little out of city limits. Pull up to this long driveway, going up this long driveway, lots of trees, kind of spooky. Just, you know what I mean? Just a kind of a spooky vibe. Pull up to this giant building, metal building, almost looks more like a jail. Like, you wouldn't be surprised. It looks like something out of fucking Jurassic Park. Big fences, barbed wire, ominous building, spooky. We get there, somebody's waiting for us outside. We go right from the front doors into a giant elevator. Like, you, as soon as these doors open, it's this giant metal elevator that takes you upstairs. Just, you know, like, again, I'm going to go back to Jurassic Park. I'm ready for the guy that told me to hold on to your butts. Going up to the top of this place. Doctor's waiting there. Hi, thank you so much for coming. You made good time. I can't give you very much information on this person. He was brought to us sedated. We don't have any backstory on him. All we know that he's been here for 2 days. He spent those 2 days mostly sedated on antibiotics by IV, also liquid nutrition. Out of nowhere, he woke up. Okay. And what would you like us here for? They're like, well, we need your guys' help sedating him. I'm like, okay, that shouldn't be too hard. Like, do you guys have security just in case he gets violent? She's like, oh, we have security and he's already violent. I'm like, okay, like, what do you mean? She brings me into the security room and shows me the security tape. And all it is a guy, like, kick it back to fucking 90s WWE. There's this guy passed out in his fucking bed and just fucking Undertaker's up off his bed, like just lurches up so fast. Looks around. Looking around his room, kind of like, well, where the fuck am I, right? And all you can hear is him start screaming, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry.
Oh,
pulls out his IV, starts ransacking his room, picking up fucking clothes, shredding them into shreds, just pulling them into fucking shreds. And it's weird. And he's ripping them off in these like thin shreds. And he kind of looks up, cocks his eye up at the fucking camera and just starts jamming these fucking clothes, these shreds of clothes into his mouth and just like forcing them down his fucking throat, like burying his hand down his throat. And I'm watching this fucking video and I'm like, what the fuck do you want me to do? Like, I'm not going in there. Like, are you crazy? She's like, well, we really need help sedating him. We have security. Like, we can try and hold him down while you guys sedate him. And I'm like, listen, unless I got a fucking blow dart or some shit, I'm not going in the room with this fucking guy. You know what I mean? I look at my partner and my partner's like, yeah, we got it. No problem. Brand new guy. Fucking keener, ready to go. So we go up into this room and it's like a fucking cell. And I kind of look through, there's that little glass window and you look over and he's just hunched and his back's to the fucking window. So you can't really see him, but you can see his fucking hands just like, you know, rustling right by his face. And he's kind of just hunched over and there's piles of puke and saliva and shit all over the ground. His room's fucked, right? And I'm like, oh my God, like this is, I've been doing this job for a bit now, close to 10 years. And this is one of the times where I'm genuinely like, oh my fucking God. Like, is this really fucking happening? Like, there's three security guards here. Not very big, not very imposing. I'm like, we need three times as many people as this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? And somehow this doctor convinces me, gives me the medications. Like, hey, you know, good luck. Like, get him in there and go. And I'm like, okay. Pretend like I'm fucking, you know, okay, let's do this, right? Open up the door. Quietly, slowly, and just kind of like try to creep up. And he's not even looking over at me, right? He's not even looking. And I'm like, hey, man, paramedics, we're here to help you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, can you stop eating clothes? You know what I mean? Like, just everything's okay. You're safe. Everything's good. We just got some medicine for you. And he fucking cranks his head around and just looks at me with a fucking remnant of a pajama, like hanging out of his fucking mouth, like buttons on it. And I've fucking never seen that look in somebody's face before. And I'm like looking at the security. The security's looking at me. They're like, yeah, we're like, let's get the fuck out of here, right? So we all kind of like turn around being like, let's get the fuck out of here. Buddy jumps to his feet and starts taking off towards us. Fucking inches away from me. Inches. Grabs onto my fucking shirt. And I'm like, holy fuck, like, trying to get out this door as fast as humanly possible. Somehow the security guards are on the other side and I'm the last guy fucking in this room. And they're holding this door closed and I'm halfway out of it, screaming for my life, and they're grabbing onto my arm and the doctor's screaming at me. Again, I know I've gone back to this already, but Jurassic Park, like, get him, like, fucking give him the medication. Like, just like that guy in the fucking raptor pen being like, shoot her, shoot her. And I'm fucking shitting my pants as this man is trying to drag me back into this fucking room. And what is he going to do to me? Is he going to eat me? I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Just as he's pulling on me.
Probably had some good looking clothes.
He started fucking projectile puking around the shirt. So this shirt's down his throat and puke is coming out around it like fucking, you know when you pinch like a fucking garden hose and it just starts spraying out the sides and it's just pulling out of his sides and he looks at me and just starts fucking like magician pulling the fucking bandana out of his pocket. He's pulling this fucking clothes out of his throat as puke's just fucking flying out.
Little Linda Blair projectile.
Holy fuck. We fucking locked that door and he's sitting there and he puked it all out. And what does he do?
Eats it.
Working, putting it right back in. Oh, man.
Your friend's life, let me tell you something.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man. Like, that's... I can't even... I don't know. Like, that... I'm talking the most deranged, terrifying human being I've ever seen in my life. Or his life. Ever. Like, by fucking far. Like, I was shook. My partner shook. This fucking doctor who's been working, I don't know how many years. Like, this guy was like elderly, and he's like, I've never seen anyone that fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
But we went back in there, pinned him down, sedated him, brought him to the fucking hospital. Working the next day in the hospital, fucking cruising by with a stretcher, looking by, look over in the bed, and there's this guy fucking sitting up eating a sandwich.
No big deal.
No problem. Everything's good. Everybody's happy. Fucking most bizarre thing my friend's ever seen. But anyways, that's it.
The tales. The tales that are told.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man.
Fucked up.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Dude, I'm not kidding. Like, the fucking fear that even just hearing this story, like, the fucking genuine fear. Like, oh, fuck, man. You see a lot of weird shit, but that, like, oh, fuck. I don't feel fucking comfortable talking about it. Like, ugh.
I don't feel comfortable listening to it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have did another disclaimer.
I think people know by now, if you start talking about a story of a friend of a friend.
Yeah, just fucking mute
it. You either turn it off or listen to something gross or fucked up. Something that no one ever experiences.
Fuck no.
You want to start wrapping it up? I'll give my song of the week and then we'll finish this up. We'll talk about some pod week on After Hours. We'll be going live on Discord only for Patreon only. But band of the week this week is a band called The Hollywood Kills. The song's called Hannibal. They thought it was fitting, you know.
I like
Halloween
name.
Time. Spooky time. A little bit of a Hannibal. Band of the week, The Hollywood Hills. Check them out on Spotify. Or probably wherever else you can find music. Anything else, Brayden?
No, as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Do it.